Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Greg Jackson of the News Tribune, and before Greg and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks head coach, Ted LePage.
All right, Coach. No game last week to talk about, but I'll tell you what, why don't we talk about the game that you went and saw, which was, you know, Southern Boone against Wright City. What were some of the takeaways you had from that game?
Physical game. I think probably more physical than maybe both teams were expecting, but, you know, dreary night that just was very, very violent football game. It was fun to watch. There was a lot of big hits in that game, a lot of back and forth. Very tight game. You know, and the final score got away from a little bit, but early on, that was a very, very tight football game that could have went either way. There was a controversial call happened right there at the end of the first half. If that doesn't happen, it's... You know, it may come down to the wire, but they went Southern Boone's way, and Southern Boone was able to pull away in the second half.
I'll tell you what, I think this just goes to speak the strength of this district. I feel like if Wright City, I mean, Wright City was 6-3 and had the 5-seed in your all's district, and I feel like they were, I mean, they were a talented program. I know it's going to look in the books that they had a first-round loss in district play, but I would argue if they were in districts 1-3 and hadn't gotten shipped out west, that they could have stood a fighting chance to play for a district title in them.
You know, watching them, and especially knowing they had their backup quarterback and their backup center playing in the game last week, I tend to agree with you, but at the same standpoint, I also know you got to play with the cards you're dealt. And unfortunately, there's been a lot of times where I felt the same way when we're standing in those shoes. So right now, we get to control what we can control, and that's what we play and how we play. I can't worry about anybody else.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, let's talk about Southern Boone again. I know we did this a few weeks ago, but was there anything different you saw from this district game that you hadn't seen either in the regular season or in your week 9 meeting against
them? It's funny you say that. You get to watch a game live. It's different. You get to watch the tempo of it. And I noticed Southern Boone tried to speed the game up at times, which I had not seen them. I wouldn't pick up on film. They were speeding the game up, meaning they were trying to play with tempo. They ran an onside kick out of the bunch set. Now, at the game, we were told they do that a bunch, but it's never showed up on film. So, you know, there were some things that went on. The quarterback ran around, does what he does. He made some really, really nice throws in a very inclement weather night. But at the same standpoint, what we noticed is Wright City was able to get some hits on him. And that's one thing we really challenged our players. We haven't gotten hits on him. Wright City did. They came after him a little different ways, and it was interesting to watch. And then Wright City was pretty much a predominantly running team and had really success on things that we looked at, and we'll try to emulate a little bit in this week.
You know, and I did want to bring this up because this is going to be the third time since you've come back to Blair Oaks that you all play the same team in back-to-back games. You know, in 2018, it was California, Osage in 2021. The difference was those were weeks 9 and 10. It just seems, I know there's a week off between, but it just seems kind of, this one stands out because it's such a talented Southern Boone team, and you just never know what to expect when you play a tough team like that in back-to-back games.
Well, and it's not back-to-back for them. With the other two, you know, it was straight back-to-back the next week, and you got 2 weeks worth of prepare. We prepared for Southern Boone last week, and, you know, we're going to be... So we've had 3 weeks of preparation. So this week has been a lot of me telling myself and telling my coaches and keep it simple, stupid. You get to where you're overanalyzing, you get to really thinking about things and you're watched and you've practiced so much for the same thing. You get to where, oh gosh, I need to change this, I need to change it. Well, no, do what you do. Stay the course and be patient with it. We've had 3 weeks of good preparation. This week's been incredibly energized. I think our players, we really sold the statement to them. You had a week last week. You didn't get to play football. Not that you earned it, the one seed. You didn't get to play football. There's nobody for you to play. So you got to come out with a little bit more energy this week. And I like the bye week, and I don't like the bye week just for those simple facts.
All right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage. And, Greg, we are in the interesting position of, because of playing Southern Boone 2 weeks ago to close out the regular season and then talking about them a little bit last week in last week's bye podcast and then having to talk about them this week because they're going to be the Falcons' opponent this week. We're talking about Southern Boone again this week. So,
I don't know. We should know them inside and out at this point, right?
We should, or we should just start calling it the Southern Boone Eagles podcast. I don't know. But, okay, so to reset things for people who have kind of maybe taken a week off or taken a week away or whatever. So Falcons were had the number as the number one seed in districts, got the first round bye, which we talked about last week at length. And then we had a sneaking suspicion that it was going to be Southern Boone that they would see again, and that's just the way that it played out. In fact, everything kind of went according to seeds, you know, in the first round of districts, because you've got one Blair Oaks hosting four Southern Boone tonight, and you've got two Moberly hosting three Centralia tonight. Yeah. So kind of what we thought was going to happen.
We would. I mean, you know, taking a look, right, and that was one of the things we talked about, I talked about earlier in the podcast interview there with Coach LePage is, you know, it's unfortunate that Wright City happened to be in this district. I mean, they're really a small class three school. Normally, if it wasn't for the whole shifting the way things did this past offseason, they'd be class two, but they're class three this year. And 6-3 in the Emo is not a bad record, especially when you factor in that Bowling Green is, a power this year with an undefeated regular season. They just could not get in front of Southern Boone. They were constantly chasing them throughout the game. They scored 25 points, but, you know, Southern Boone got that first score. And in a game like that, the first score is just so important because then, I mean, you don't want to be the one doing the chasing, as I said.
Well, and much like we've seen from Southern Boone this year, I mean, that ends up being a 47-25 final. And that's kind of a typical output that we've seen from the Eagles this year. Yeah. So, yeah, if you're Wright City, you go into that game knowing you're going to have to score at least in the 30s, probably in the 40s, to have a chance to win. And they just, like I say, they just couldn't keep up with the production.
And I do want to – I take it back. Wright City did score the first touchdown, but Southern Boone answered with looks like three straight touchdowns. So, again, you know, if you get that first score, man, getting that first defensive stop does make a big difference. Sure. They just couldn't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things where, you know, again, it is a strike fast, you know, Eagles team that can do that to people. So, again, I think it's, you know, we talked about it. It's almost like, well, you want to say just go back and play the preview that we ran again from a couple weeks ago to say, okay, what are we expecting from this Eagles team? But I do feel like that, yes, and if I feel like maybe if Southern Boone had its druthers and it was kind of the team trying to come into tonight's game hoping for an upset, you hope maybe there would have been a little more separation between the weeks you played, Blair Oaks. So you go, oh, maybe we're a different team now, or maybe we've put in some different wrinkles. I think it's the same two teams that met 2 weeks ago.
So that's going to be something I'm going to feature in this week's Goal Lines or News Tribune preview story. Is this going to be the fourth time since 2015 that Blair Oaks has played a team back-to-back. You know, in 2015, you were there weeks 9 and 10 when they played Versailles. If I remember right, they was 17-0 both games.
Correct.
I was there in 2018 when they played California in back-to-back weeks, won both of those. 2021, they played Osage. If I remember, I wasn't at the regular season game. If I remember right, Jason Strickland covered that one, and it was a shootout down Osage Beach. The following week, Blair Oaks comes back and shuts out Osage. So it was two completely different-looking games.
Right.
But what makes this one different is those were back-to-back weeks 9 and 10. This is week 9 and week 11 where Blair Oaks has a bye.
Yeah.
And Southern Boone played. It's not back-to-back for Southern Boone. They've got somebody that they played in between.
Yeah.
And it's one of those games where, you know, we talked last week about the pros and cons of a bye week. And you know, the con is football is a routine sport. You play every Friday, you play every week, and you don't want to get thrown out of that routine.
Right.
The pro is you get that week to heal up, you get that week to game plan. And, I mean, you know, last week Blair Oaks was game planning for both Southern Boone and Wright City, but they were definitely looking, hey, if we get Southern Boone, we know what we need to work on and can fix it. And now we're going to have 2 weeks to work on that, where Southern Boone's only going to be afforded the 1 week.
Right.
So I think that also makes a big difference. Not only that, but, you know, Coach LePage and I believe his staff went to the Southern Boone Wright City game and scouted in person.
Sure.
And you're going to see stuff in person that you're not going to see when you're looking at a team scouting on film. You're going to see what happens between plays. You're going to see stuff that happens outside the camera lenses view. And I think that is going to be a big bonus for the coaching staff when they're game planning for a rematch against Southern Boone.
Yeah, because you do say, okay, well, you've already seen that because you played them. But you're so worried a lot of times about watch yourself, even if you're going back and looking at the full film from that regular season meeting, that, yeah, having another second game to kind of reinforce that, you go, oh, we saw them do this in these instances when we saw them live the first time. Well, now you've seen them live a second time, it can just give you that much even more added, you know, insight into what maybe they're going to try to do.
And, I mean, that's the other thing, is how much of the kitchen sink does Southern Boone throw at Blair Oaks? Because the other kicker was not only, I mean, Week 9 happened, they knew there was a chance they'd see each other in district. But the Week 9 game was for the conference championship. Right. So you're not, I can't imagine Southern Boone would hold anything back and sacrifice a conference title in hopes of getting a rematch and beating Blair Oaks. So that's the other thing is, I've got to imagine they saw everything they could from Southern Boone. Yeah. Now, does Southern Boone have the opportunity or possibility to add things that Blair Oaks hasn't seen? Absolutely.
Sure.
Blair Oaks is probably going to do the same with Southern Boone.
Right.
But I think the kicker is, in this matchup, who's going to learn the most from the mistakes in Week 9? Because, again, you know, I know Blair Oaks won by 34 points, but they did make the Falcons made a handful of mistakes. I mean, let's not forget, they were trailing that game early in the third quarter.
Right, true. And that is worth mentioning. But I do feel like that, okay, this game has to come down to, you can say all you want about, oh, well, now we're familiar, or now we've seen it, now we've seen them live, we played them live. It's a little bit different than when you're scouting somebody and trying to adjust for what they do. But the big kicker for me is, if you're Southern Boone, you gave up 62 last time.
Yeah.
How do you avoid doing anything close to replicating that? Because I feel like, again, yes, they scored 28 last time, and say they go even one better and they score 35. That means you have to probably hope to keep, you know, Blair Oaks production to 3 or 4 scores worse than last time. So how do you do that?
So, I mean, that's the thing. And I was sitting next to Southern Boone, their radio team, when they were calling the game 2 weeks ago, and they kept pointing out how Blair Oaks has starters. I mean, they have very few two-way starters. You know, Joey Wildey's a two-way starter. Nick Closter's a two-way starter. They might have some other players go both ways every now and then, but for the most part, they've got 9 guys who start one way and 9 guys who start the other. Whereas if you look at Southern Boone, a lot of their skill players go both ways. Now, here's the pros and cons with that. The pros are they need those guys to play both ways because they're the best at those positions both ways.
Right.
The cons are that was a game that featured a ton of plays. I mean, for crying out loud, Blair Oaks had 67 run plays in that game, so that really dragged things out. But you're on the field for a lot of time, and if you're playing both ways, you don't get to come off the field and, like, pick up, you know, some tidbits from looking at back on huddle film or whatnot, like, hey, we're making mistakes here. We need to correct those. You're having to do that during timeouts. So they kind of pointed that out and said that the radio staff said they thought that made a big difference in Blair Oaks pulling away in the second half was that the two-way starters for Southern Boone were starting to run a little bit out of gas. And not only that, but once Blair Oaks had the momentum, man, the defense really stepped up. And again, I can't emphasize this enough. I know this a couple weeks straight I've said this. Southern Boone had about 311 total yards against Blair Oaks, and half of those yards came on their 4 touchdowns. So they were a big play offense that wasn't really all that successful outside of those 4 big plays. Now, that led to 28 points, but if you're going to hang with Blair Oaks, you really need to do kind of like what Boonville did. You need to find a way to grind out the clock and keep their offense off the field for as long as possible.
Yeah.
But you've also got to score almost every time you touch the ball, and Southern Boone just could not do that after the opening few minutes of the third quarter.
So I guess my question for you is, how equipped are they to maybe do that? If you do want to try to maybe get a little more possession-oriented, do you think this is a Southern Boone team that can do that without taking too much away from its ability to strike fast and its ability to come up with big plays? Sometimes if you try to get in that mentality of, let's maybe alter what we do, it makes you less effective at the good things that you're doing, and
maybe
it doesn't make you very effective at the things you want to do.
I agree, because, I mean, here's the other thing. If you're gonna kill time off the clock, you've got to score, because otherwise you've killed time off the clock. You have to give the ball away, and if Blair Oaks comes out to a lead, now you're having to play in panic mode, essentially. I agree. I mean, Southern Boone just needs they really need to get the ball in Brady Dabkus's hands more often. I would argue maybe even more often in the passing game. He didn't, rushing-wise, I think he only had about 60 or so yards rushing against Blair Oaks, so he didn't have that huge breakout run that he tends to have, but he had a couple of nice touchdown receptions. And again, the other thing, just taking a look at A.J. Evans at quarterback, I believe he was only 12 of 28 passing against Blair Oaks. Last week he was 17 of 24. So Blair Oaks held him well below his completion percentage average, but man, it's one of those things that if he gets past three Mississippi and he's outside the pocket, that's almost advantage him.
Sure.
Because one of his receivers needs to do is scramble and find a way to get open, and he does a pretty good job of finding him. Blair Oaks' pass rush did a great job of putting a lot of pressure on him and really flushed him out of the pocket, and they got a handful of sacks, and I thought they made him throw a lot of bad balls. Again, he threw four interceptions 2 weeks ago. Now, he had to force a bunch of those, but they made him do it.
Yeah.
You really, if you're the Blair Oaks pass rush, you've got to replicate what you can with that. So I think that's going to be the biggest question mark for me coming in on Southern Boone's office. Do they find ways to improve the run game, which really wasn't all that great against Blair Oaks, or do they get more efficient in the pass game and do you just continue to find big play, big play, big play through the air?
Right. So I think this is a game that, you know, there's not a whole lot more to say in terms of being able to break it down because we've kind of seen it. We've talked about it. So I don't want to put you on the spot here too much, but I do want to kind of flip our attention maybe to the other side of the bracket just from the standpoint of, you know, it is worth mentioning. We mentioned it, I think, a couple weeks ago that this is just a loaded district from the standpoint of you look at it. You know, everybody that's a remaining has 8 wins or more, and you really look at it and go, okay, I think there's going to be 2 fantastic games tonight no matter how they play out for whatever victor and whatever team. But I think that other matchup is also very intriguing from the standpoint of you look at it and go, okay, yes, seeds held and you know, number 2 Moberly beat, you know, number 7 Macon, like you expected, 49-6, pretty big. It was that other game where it was the Centralia Hallsville game where, yes, Centralia advances and improves to 9-1, but they only beat Hallsville 24-18. And so you look at it and go, is that a sign then that maybe the 3 seed is not as strong as the 2 seed? Or is it just one of those things where you go, sometimes matchups are just tough and it doesn't matter what you do, even, you know, because you expect those 3-6 games to sometimes be a kind of an okay competition.
Well, and to add on to what makes it even more screwy is Centralia routed Hallsville. It was like 60-something to 30-something in week 2.
Yeah.
And so you don't know. I mean, was it one of those things where Hallsville saw its season on the brink and just threw everything it had at Centralia?
Right.
Did Centralia look ahead? You never know. But
sure.
I you know, that's really not the first time we've seen Centralia eke by a lesser opponent this year.
Right.
I mean, I believe Palmyra kind of had a somewhat down year, and they kind of squeaked by them as
well.
Beat
them by 11, yeah.
You know, Moberly, again, it's so hard to tell with Moberly because they play up so much, but a lot of the NCMC is just not where it normally has been in the past, so you can't really take a whole lot of those wins into account. I do think that game's going to be a toss-up. If it was at Centralia, I'd say Centralia wins, but man, with it being at Moberly, I really do think it's a pick-em, but I don't know. I guess I've been high on Centralia all year, so even though I wasn't terribly impressed with Centralia having to go to overtime to beat Hallsville, I would pick Centralia to beat Moberly. I'll say 28-21 to go to the district final.
All right. And in the district final, then, they will meet?
Oh, they're gonna meet Blair Oaks, okay. I believe. And like I said, the real question is, what's the scoring gap going to be like? Is this a game where, you know, I think I know what the score is going to be. I just don't know the route. Is it going to be there's going to be a lot of points early? Is there going to be a lot of points late? Is there going to be a lot of points in the middle? I do think that this is a Blair Oaks team that they like the bye week, and I think they also hate it because they don't get that opportunity. They feel like they get cheated out of another game to play.
Right.
And I think they're just aching to get back out there. I think they find a way to score in the 50s again, and I just don't know if Southern Boone's going to be able to keep up with that. So I'm going to say Blair Oaks wins this one 56-28.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Greg Jackson on Twitter at ActionJackson05. That's Action JAXON05. Thanks for listening.